With that, I'm super, super excited to pass it over to Nancy, who is going to walk us through kind of an intro to web accessibility standards, as well as how we can work harder to include folks with disabilities in the digital space. So Nancy, I will pass it over to you.
Thank you, Ashley.
I work in Accessibility Lab to help enterprises, organizations, governments to make accessible websites. We can all agree that the internet and mobile devices are essential for our daily life, and that's why it's really important that all people have access to the internet for any particular activity.
You will see that web accessibility standards are not from Mars. It's actually really easy, especially for you that where you have a lot of usability experience.
The key is that we can ensure equal access and opportunities for everyone. As you know, usability is more about efficiency, easy, and user satisfaction when interacting with the content. But accessibility is more when the content is available for everyone and the functionality can be operated by anyone, including those who have assistive technology. And exactly, well, accessibility or whether that is accessible can be the difference between being able to use it or not. Accessibility eliminates obstacles when we are interacting, transmitting, and receiving or understanding information. You will see also that access design does not affect security. For example, most of accessibility requirements are not able to, we are not able to see them because they are in code. For example, alternative text, tags on data entries, header tags, language, etc. We will see some examples. Well, the idea is we live in a world that includes everyone, and organizations seek to give their users and customers a good user experience, but many fail to consider people with disabilities. If you include people with disabilities, you will increase the number of users and the ones you have because you will have an accessible website. And other benefits are also social responsibility, competitive advantage against other options that do not offer accessible sites. It becomes CEO positioning and compatibility because, for example, screen readers are like a Google, They are basically blind and they are searching for information on your website. So if you tag and structure the website, you will have the marketing benefits. And also you will comply with the legislation. And for the users, of course, accessible online services will offer efficient and secure solutions for everyday tasks. And the most important benefit autonomy that we'll have because accessibility improves everyone's quality of life, including elderly people, indigenous people, for example, people with slow connections to the internet, low levels of education, etc. Now I will share with you these these images about how the Access websites looks with some visual let me show you. For example, this is the normal vision. We can see the website with all its colors and everything. This is how a person with hemianopia sees. This is also, for example, with degeneration. You will see like the gray color in the middle. This will be diabetic retinopathy. This will be glaucoma, and it's a progressive disease. So this circle will be smaller each every day.
This is color blindness, for example, protanopia. So people cannot see red or orange or colors. So this is how they see it. And this is tritanopia. As you see, the blue color changes to green. And it will be achromatopsia, which is black and white, no color at all. So when we are talking about people with disabilities, we're not just talking about blind people, also all different kinds of visual disabilities and other disabilities like motor disabilities, cognitive disabilities, hearing disabilities, cognitive, etc., etc. A little intro about the legislation. Well, internationally, we have Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. We, in Article 9, it talks about digital, physical disability, sorry, digital and physical accessibility are both as important. All access to telecommunications, mobile devices, websites, it's included in this article. In the case, for example, the United States, they have the Americans with Disabilities Act, Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act, the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, and the Air Carriers Access Act. And 508 is specific about web accessibility standards. And over there, if you're not accessible, you can be sued. As for example, in Europe and other countries. In Latin America, works in different ways because we have legislation, but it's not, you know, people and governments, they don't always care about the legislation. So it's in the book, but it's not in the reality. A few examples about laws in US. We have companies like Target, the Home Depot, and Bed Bath & Beyond. And for example, a few universities that didn't offer closed captions in their videos. For example, Harvard University and MIT, and also Netflix. I don't know if you have seen in your Netflix the option of audio description and closed caption. Closed captions would be for deaf people, and audio description would be boys that explain visual content for blind people. And for example, in the case of Canada, we have web standards for the government of Canada and other legislation. And in each country, we have normally legislation about web accessibility. In the case of Europe and the European Union, we have the accessibility requirements suitable public procurement of ICT products and services that basically says that for this year, all websites must be accessible, and next year, all apps should be accessible. So it's really important that you, well, not just for social responsibility, but also for legal issues. The standard that are we're going to talk about is Web Accessibility Guidelines 2.1, which is the last version, and it was created for the Web Accessibility Initiative, that it's a group of work that belongs to the W3C. And here in the presentation, we will have links in case you want to visit. And about data is that in the world, according to the United Nations, 1 in 7 people has a disability. And everyone, as we're getting older, we probably will have a disability. So it's also like for a personal concern to do accessible websites. Well, the disabilities that affect the navigation of web content can be visual, hearing, motor, especially for people who cannot use the mouse, and cognitive disabilities, like, for example, intellectual disability or other type of disabilities. In order to compensate the disability and being able to navigate the web, we have the things that we call assistive technologies. Here, for example, we have a high contrast keyboard, some switches, and a mouse big track, which is like a normal mouse, but bigger. And we also have here a braille display. For example, a person who is deaf and who is also blind only can navigate a website through a braille display, which reads through a software and show to the user in a tactile way all the information in text that the content has. So that's why it's really important to have always text equivalent in our websites. And also here we can see some switches. And we can set up these switches to have like a keyboard functionality. For example, tab button and enter. Here is another example about some switches connecting to a tablet. And here is another example that it's called Toby Eye Tracking, which is, for example, for people who cannot move arms or legs, and they are just able to move their eyes. So this device is used to, thanks to your eyes, you can select links and you can press enter and you can do a lot of things in a website. And we also have a source like, for example, screen readers. We have different brands on the market. For example, for devices that are from Apple, they already have installed the VoiceOver. And in the case of Android, we have Google Talk or Voice Assistant. And if you are a user of Windows, you can download NVDA, which is free and it works really good. Does anyone have any questions so far? I know I'm speaking a lot. Okay, if not, I will continue.
I think we have maybe some folks typing in the chat, but if you want to continue, I can maybe flag it when it's ready.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. I will show you some easy examples about the standards. First thing to know is that this standard is divided in 3 levels of accessibility: level A, double A, and triple A. A is the most basic, triple A is the most complete. If you have a website that complies with level AAA, you comply with the success criteria of level A and double A and triple A. and it's divided in 4 principles and 13 guidelines. The 4 principles are perceivable, operable, understandable, and robust. And the most basic example about non-text content is the alt text. If you provide, for example, an image in your code or a button, you need to add an alternative text that describes this, the functionality of the meaning of the image. Here is an example. We have a photo of a panda eating bamboo. So, for example, the blind person that cannot see the image, it will be able through his or her screen reader to recognize the graphic, and the screen reader will read the alternative text that you put. If here is empty, it will just let the user know that it's decorative, or they will not know that there is an image. And it's really important because if you are offering important content on the image, they can miss it. About multimedia content, if you, for example, have a pre-recorded audio only, you need to provide a textual description. And in the case of video only, also pre-recorded, must provide a textual description or an audio that explains the content of the video. Also, for example, if you are, for all the videos that you are in your website, you must have captions and audio description or textual descriptions of the content. Remember that text is the most universal format, but because you can convert text in audio and in tactile format, so it will help all users. Doesn't matter if they are using assistive technologies or what type of assistive technology. Here, for example, that has the closed caption button. And into the right, we can see the transcript of that video. So it's that simple. You can offer the text a link or on the same screen or in a PDF document as you wish, but always a text. And about if we have live content, for example, live audio, well, also to offer captions. And in a level AAA of accessibility, we must offer a sign language interpreter to all videos. A lot of deaf people cannot read text, and their main language is sign language, so it's really important for a lot of people. And for example, you are sharing, you are in a radio interview or something, or you have audio only content in live, you also need to provide a textual description about content for deaf people. They cannot understand what they are speaking. And another example about the structure of a website or an app, it's the info and relationships success criteria, which says that information, structure, and relationships conveyed through presentation can be programmatically determined or available in text. My recommendation is that we structure our content in a really simple way. For example, here with bullets and just one title and one image, it will be more simple that a lot of information together on the same screen. Other success criteria, sorry about the Spanish here, is the a meaningful sense, because the screen readers and other assistive technologies will go to the code directly, not to the information that we see on the screen. So maybe sometimes we can see in the screen with a lot of design and in order and everything, but if in the code is in, they have an incorrect sequence, the screen reader will read it like that. So it's really important that you check that. And about sensory characteristics also, the criteria says that instructions provided for understanding and operating content do not rely solely on sensory characteristics or of components such as shape, color, size, visual location, orientation, or sound. And here is a simple example. If you assume that this arrow means continue or next, maybe not all people can understand the meaning. But if you provide also a text label, it will be more complete. So you can offer both to be more accessible. And the requirement is orientation. And it's about, it just tells us that content should restrict its view and operation to a single display orientation, such as portrait or landscape. A lot of people, for example, people in a wheelchair, they have their tablet or cell phone adapted to the wheelchair in a fixed way, and they cannot move it. So we should assure that our website have the design in both side, in both orientations. And about color, well, there are a lot of recommendations about color that we use. This requirement is about, it tells us that color should not be used as the only visual means of conveying information, indicating an action from a response, or distinguishing a visual element. For example, here we have the accessible message. Using color, we are using text and we are using shape with the arrow. But if we are just using color, it will not be accessible because a lot of people can distinguish color. For example, here we have an example which is in Spanish, but I believe you, I think you can understand. We are indicating status with just color. And if people cannot understand or see this color, we are not being specific about the status. So here we can use color, but we can also complete with text and be accessible. And the same with forms. For example, if you are this form, I send it without any information, and the response was everything in red. But if I cannot see red, I cannot see what is the problem. So I use red because it's nice and a lot of people can see it. But the recommendation is that I use labels with text also to indicate what is the problem with the form. And here is another example. I have a pie chart, one accessible and one that is not accessible. Both are using color. The one that is accessible has labels and arrows to indicate which color belongs to which subject. In this case, in the chart that is not accessible, I just use color to indicate which thing is which. So it will be really difficult for someone who cannot see color to understand this chart. And also we have requirements about color contrast. The standard, we actually have two requirements. The one is level AA, and another is AAA. And AA is minimum color contrast, and AAA is more a high color contrast. And you can use a lot of websites, free pages, like the one that I'm going to show you, to test color contrast. For example, here is you just put in Google Web IAM color contrast. Color contrast checker, or something like that. And you'll find a lot of validators of color. This is the one that I like because it's really easy to use. And you just put here the code of the color, or you can put with the brightness or darkness for background color and background color. And that way, the results in small text or large text. For example, this question of one day, it's we have standard AA and the standard AAA, and also in large text. By background or its lightness, lighter, we will see that it's already passing in large text and normal text, AA. Still in AAA, but that's good enough for some people. For color contrast, you can use any color that you want, but you need to make sure that the background and the foreground have enough contrast. Any questions so far?
Yes, we have a few that have popped up in the chat that I think we can revisit. So one, someone was asking or stating that it would be really wonderful to have like a compilation of the various laws per country that you've referenced. I'm not sure if that's something that you have already, Nancy, or your team.
Compilation about the legislation in Mexico or in which I have information about Europe, Canada, and Mexico.
Yeah, I think, yeah, any of that that you'd be willing to share, I think that would be helpful. I think folks would be interested.
Yes, yes, I can share it. In fact, in our website, I can show you also, we have
in our menu, we have legislation, and we have an introduction about regulatory framework and the importance of web accessibility and the right to information and access for all people, including disabilities. And here is the normative framework in Mexico. And if you need information about US, well, we can share this presentation, and they have the names of the legislation in the slides about the US. So I hope
okay. Perfect. Yeah, I think David is the one who asked this question and is writing. Okay, perfect. He said that's perfect. So yeah, we can share the presentation, and we'll also definitely link to the Ally Lab website so that folks can read more. Just quick two other questions. So Tiffany was asking which tool was used to read the Access website?
The Access website?
Yeah, when you showed the different examples of folks with visual impairments, did you use a specific tool that
The visual disabilities?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, is this tool, let me share you my browser. Okay, you can see my browser, right? Okay.
Yes.
It is a plugin called No Coffee Vision Simulator.
So, oh my God. Amazing name.
So here you can, for example, you can select central macular degeneration or retinal diathion, and you can enhance the gravity of, well, not the gravity, the how much it appear or not. For example, that was the question, which tool I use that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's okay, so very informative.
Just Google it and add it to Chrome. I don't know if it works for some other browser.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Do you have another question?
The last one was mine. I'll save it until the end so we can keep going.
Okay. Well, another example, it's about the resized text that can be resized without assistive technology up to 20 to 200% without loss of content or functionality. And for example, another success criteria, which is level AAA, is complicated in cases, is for the visual presentation of blocks of text that a mechanism is available to achieve the following. Foreground and background colors can be selected by the user. For example, here, sometimes can be difficult for too much work. That's why it's level 8. But other requirements like width, it's no more than 80 characters or glyphs. It's really easy. The idea that you use short lines of text is that people that use magnifiers in their screen, they will be able to read more easily. If our line of text is really long, they will have to scroll to the right and the right and the left, and it will be really annoying. And also that text is not justified, because if you justify text, you will see spaces, sometimes big spaces between words, so that can affect also users with magnifiers, and also that your lines and your paragraphs have enough spacing. Another requirement is that basically the website should have a responsive design. And another requirement is a non-fixed contrast. As we here can see in the image, these icons have low contrast. Here we are using the same colors, but the black with the white will have more contrast and be more readable for users. And here we have more examples of contrast. The focus is placed in an input to see the difference between focused and non-focused. And if, for example, here, if we have a dark background color, we can show the focus with a light color. And also always in the links, we need to show the user where they are when in case they navigate with the keyboard. And here we have the same examples, but with low contrast and high contrast. And bright ones are better because they have higher contrast. Another example and really basic requirement of web accessibility is the keyboard navigation. All functionality of the content must be operable through a keyboard interface. Sometimes developers just test with the mouse and they check the menu and sub options or all the website, or and they just test with mouse And that is a big mistake because you are forgetting all the users that use just a keyboard or switches or other devices or assistive technologies that depend on the keyboard navigation. What about the moving, blinking, or scrolling of the content? Well, if there are such a situation, you must offer a mechanism for the user to pause, stop, or hide the content. For example, a person who has a deficit of attention, they will have problems with the moving or blinking or of the content. And there is another experiment that it's called bypass blocks. It's just a mechanism that we must have available in our website to skip content that are related. For example, here in the White House site, you cannot see this link unless you navigate with the keyboard. But if you are blind and you're navigating between pages from the White House, you will find this link really helpful to not repeating all the information over and over. And also about the focus order, another example about the, it's similar to the sequence of the content, that all focusable components must receive focus in an order that prevents, preserves meaning and operability. Sometimes, for example, in this forum, if the inputs in the code are disordered, it will be awful for blind users or keyboard users. But if you just are, have your code in order, it will be really simple to navigate. And about links, it's really important that you don't use a generic text for links. For example, click here, or more information won't be descriptive to users who are blind or any other user. The recommendation is that the purpose of each link can be determined from the link text alone or from the link text together with its, for example, its icon, like in here, that we have the icon and the text, and they receive focus together. So you can see it together and you can hear the description. If you are blind, you just hear Facebook link and that's it. But if you are blind and you just listen, click here, you will not know where are you going. Another example, another is that focus always must be visible. Keyboard operable user interface has a mode of operation where the keyboard focus indicator is visible. It can be with the underline or with the design that we want. We just need to show the user where they are. Another recommendation is that section headings are used to organize the content. If you will use headings, don't skip heading levels. You just use, for the main title, you must use heading level 1 and heading level 2, and don't start with heading level 6 because that will be wrong. A person, for example, that is blind with a screen reader can, with a shortcut of their keyboard, can get a list of headings and they can understand the content more quickly. They are not, of course, like that. We just scroll and see if information that is interesting for us to read. It depends on these headings, other structural tags in the website to navigate quickly. So use heading the way they're supposed to be used. Another example is the target size. For example, if we are in an app or if our website is responsive, the size of the target for pointer inputs should be at least 44 by 45 CSS pixels. Of course, if we have buttons or icons that are too small with our fingers, and if they are together really close from each other, it will be difficult and you will probably make a mistake to select another that you didn't want to select. Another simple success criteria is the default human language of each page can be programmatically determined. This will just take a minute to put the main language of your website. It's really important that you do it because screen readers will recognize that language and will use the pronunciation according to that language. So if you have a website in Spanish and you hear the language in English, the screen reader will pronunciate in English. It's in Spanish. Another simple recommendation is the abbreviations. A mechanism for identifying the expanded form meaning of abbreviation is available. Don't assume that all people understand what you mean with your abbreviation, so offer the long version too, at least the first time. And quick recommendations for fonts are that the input assistance, that the most important thing that you need to know is that you must avoid the user to make mistakes with clear labels and instructions. But if they already make mistakes, you must provide an error in the identification. And this message of error must be specific about the error and must be accessible for assistive technologies. It is wrong that you just put in all the requirements required. If you are blind, you will not know which label is required. So you need to specify if the name is required, if the last name is required, etc. And in a level 2 of accessibility, recommendation is that if an input error is not detected and suggestions for correction are found, the suggestions are provided to the user unless it will be jeopardized the security of the content. So here we have a simple example about the email that is missing some information, the domain. So the suggestion includes that recommendation. And well, as final recommendation, you don't need to be an expert in web accessibility. You just need to do a quick test with the keyboard and the screen reader and see how your website works and try to simulate the experience of a person with disability. You can use for Windows, NVDA, or JAWS. And if you have Mac, you can use VoiceOver screen reader. And that's all. Here's my email if you want more information or more questions, need help with your websites. And Ashley, I don't know if you can tell your question.
Yes, no, mine was kind of, I guess, a more general question about, I know when we talked about charts and graphics and things like that, of not using like a color specific or a color reliant key or legend to help people navigate that. And so I was just curious if alt text is enough, like if someone hovered over those graphics and there was alternative text, if that would be sufficient or if it should actually be built into the graphic itself.
Well, it's difficult if you, a lot of graphics are not accessible, especially if you create that graphic with a software or app. The recommendation will be that you offer the table. For example, I have this, let me see if I can find the story of WebIAM. If you can offer the accessible version, which will be the table, and you can offer the not exactly accessible version, which will be the graphic, because you can, if it's a simple graphic, you probably describe it in an alt text, but if it's a complicated graphic or graph, it will be really difficult to include all that information in a alternate text. Here are, for example, the results of a screen reader survey that the company made, and to present the results, they present the graphic and the table. The graphic and the table. You're not seeing my screen, right? Sorry. I want to share. I will share my screen.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Here is a simple example. For example, here is the graphic and here is the table. So you have the really accessible version, because screen readers will understand the table if you are making the if you are creating the table with accessibility in mind. And here will be the not accessible for blind persons. You here can also add an alternative text for this image, but if you have, for example, more complicated information, it will be really difficult that you include all in an alt text, so it will be better readable.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. I'll just open it up. I think we have just a few more minutes. If folks have other questions for Nancy or any follow-ups. I'll say that was super informative, Nancy. I feel like I've heard all of this a million times, but I learn something new every single time. It's really quite impressive. Excited to actually apply this all to the usable website.
Yes, I just wanted to also say thank you so much, because it is so informative and there are so many pieces to it, but there are also so many tools to help specifically like us as designers test for these things and then be more inclusive in the designs. So it's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
See a few other folks chatting here. So Fabian was able to share a list of the laws or some of the ones that are there in Venezuela. Yeah, not exclusively web related, but just in case. So that's a super helpful link. It'll be good practice for me with my Spanish. Looks like that's a resource fully in Spanish. All right, and then I see a few other folks typing, so we'll just give them a moment. I'm also, Nancy, so I've been capturing some notes in the Rise Up pad as you were speaking, but we'll obviously, if you're okay, share the presentation as well. And maybe we can also add a quick section here in the notes document with like a list of quick tools that folks might be able to use. I know you mentioned quite a few in your presentation, and so I'll start that list, and if you have any others to add, we can share those out. I know people will be excited.
Sure, I will provide. Yes, I will do that.
Perfect. I'll add the ones that we already highlighted from the presentation. All right, I see we got a few other people typing, so we'll just give them a moment to ask their questions or share their comments. All right, again, a comment from David here of awesome presentation, Nancy. I've been thinking through all the presentation about the challenges that it brought to us. I think one of the biggest is how we can incentivize designers, developers, and even journalists to make the content accessible. So that's probably a whole other conversation, one that Nancy, you probably have a lot of experience of convincing people beyond just the basics of, you know, abiding and being inclusive. But I don't know if there are any other kind of justifications that you've used in the past that have been effective when actually trying to convince people to maybe spend some extra time to make things a bit more accessible.
Well, yes, in our experience, we just need to have awareness activity between the group and just cover their eyes and put their app or computer in front of them and with the screen reader, tell them to try to use it, and they will probably feel really frustrated because they won't be able to do it. So that's a really interesting way to increase awareness about the importance of the disability.
Awesome. Yeah, I know we've done that with a few usable participants in previous rounds, and it's really just been transformative for them to see those, to see either other users navigating their tool using these assistive technologies or using these tools themselves. So I'll second that, Nancy. It's been really impressive to see how that really transforms people's opinions. Yeah, I think others just noting here of kind of we're seeing that trend for websites using more and more visual elements to try and deliver information and the popularity of the infographics. There's a few more questions of how did you become interested in doing this work, and how did you get started? And in general, would you say that the modern web is getting better or worse with accessibility?
Well, I think it's getting better, but really slow, and especially in countries, in developing countries, where they don't care and they assign budget. So we need like a lot of work ahead of us. I started because I have some friends with disabilities, and I see the challenges that they face. So that's why I invited you all to help us to make accessible websites and solutions.
Awesome. All right, I know we're a bit over time, but the questions are still coming in. So if we want to stick around for just a moment more, and again, following up of, yeah, prioritizing making things attractive versus making sure that they're accessible. So I think, Nancy, you did a great job of highlighting in this presentation that we can have it all. It can be an attractive website and an attractive infographic while still being accessible for those who need it.
Yes, definitely.
All right, let's just take one moment for anyone who has final thoughts. You can add them there in the chat. Lots of people typing. You've inspired us, Nancy.
I hope so.
Most definitely.
Well, it will improve the usability of your website, definitely. So you will see. It will be like so much better if you think in accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Very true, even down to the color choices. All right, one more thing. It's slightly encouraging to hear that it's getting better, even though it's at a slow pace. Would have thought it was getting worse. So thank you, Nancy.
Thank you all.
One more. Where can we find great examples of websites that are very accessible?
Well, you can visit Target. I believe it's target.com. I think Amazon is also accessible. A lot of US government websites are accessible. The White House, Harvard University. I can share some links.
I have to say, I'm surprised by the White House, given our current administration. I'm surprised they didn't strip it of all positive things.
I think it's you can thank the past administration and all their administrations.
Yes, for a strong infrastructure that they could just build on.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. I still see a few more folks typing. Just so great. I don't want to cut it off. All right, here's a question about, Nancy, for you and your team. When you're doing this work, how do you get the resources, human resources of folks who actually designed the website or computer hardware? This seems like a person who's pursuing advocacy for accessibility, or your team who's pursuing advocacy as well.
Well, we started like knowing anything like that, but we study and train ourselves. We actually went to US to take some training courses, and a lot of information you can learn it online. So if you're interested, I can also some links where you can start. And yeah, it's difficult to find someone who is also an activist and passionate about it, but now we have a team, so it's great after years of working. Yes, there are themes in WordPress that you can use. Just actually, WordPress has improved a lot of accessibility. You just find that theme in Google that, or in the WordPress home, that complies with the WCAG standards, and use that to save a lot of effort in working in accessibility.
All right, great. Looks like we have lots of folks who are thinking introspectively about how they can take this back and make it actionable, even in their own sites. So that's really exciting to hear. I also, just as we close out here, again, I want to be mindful of time. I know we're already a bit over, and it's quite late here for us folks on the East Coast or in Central America. So we'll try and sign off as quickly as possible. But I did want to note that in the past, Nancy has provided some support to the tools that we funded under the UX Fund, which is part of our project and will be another part of our project moving forward. So that's a funding pool that's specific for usability and accessibility improvements. And Nancy and her team were really wonderful and provided that support under our last round of the UX Fund. Hopefully we can organize something similar under this next round that's coming up in a few months. But just so that folks know, any of the tools that we work with coming out of this great event where you all have helped us identify some of the most prominent open source tools that teams are using, we will be making sure that accessibility is prioritized. And I also will commit here and now to internalizing this within Internews and trying to push some of these forward within our own team and our own sites here, both the usable and the safe tag site. So. Yeah, again, a huge thank you to Nancy for all of this incredible information. We had some technical glitches with the recording. I hope that we'll be able to piece it together based on everything that we got. But if not, we took incredibly detailed notes in the Rise Up pad. Nancy, we'll let you do some proofreading just to make sure we haven't gone too off the rails or inaccurately captured anything. But hopefully we'll have that recording as well to share with folks. I think that is it. Otherwise, we'll reconnect again tomorrow for most of us, but it'll be 9 a.m. Eastern time for our normal Thursday sessions, and we'll be talking about personas and organizational archetypes. So thank you all for staying, and thank you, Nancy, for such a wonderful presentation.
Thank you. Bye-bye.